All right, here we go. Welcome to another podcast of Unlocking Human Potential. Today, my guest is Kate Boehm. And Kate is a life coach for me, at least for me. She's a life coach, a spiritual teacher. She's someone who I've kind of seen and watched you through your branding and your social media kind of make a transformation, almost, you know, very much like a butterfly, like that, you know, analogy. And I've seen you kind of come out just watching you, and I've watched kind of this transformational process of you, and it's really been beautiful. It's what attracted me to reach out to you, Kate, and I was hoping you would share part of your journey and part of your story. And like anybody who jumps on a path or gets thrown on a path or thrown in the fire of transformation, there's always a bit of a backstory. And so anybody who kind of becomes a life coach or a guide or a teacher or any of that, you know, there's typically a why underneath all of that. And so I was hoping maybe we could start out with a little bit of backstory, like how you came to dedicate your life to helping people and coaching and all of that. And tell us a little bit about who you are and why you're working with people and the other thing I noticed too is on your site, this your branding is around clarity. I really love clarity, and maybe you could speak a little bit to that, why that's important as well. So welcome, Kate, and tell us a little bit about you.
Thanks, Greg. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to be here, actually. Very excited to talk about this. This is absolutely my passion. It's become my life's passion. Where do we start? Let's see. So I actually want to mention, you're talking about the social media thing, and it just brought something up for me. Like, I remember the very first time I was actually going to post with my personal message, I had all this fear, and I was like, who wants to hear what I have to say? Like, what is it that I have to say that's important for people? And cut to today, and it's just, I get like amazing feedback from people saying like, I absolutely needed to hear that, thank you so much for sharing that with me. And it just like touches my heart. I get this rush of energy. I know that, you know, it's just interesting how we all come from these places of fear, but eventually we can come from a place of love, which also translates into the work that I do now and where I was before. So I used to produce commercials. I used to be in advertising. My undergrad was actually psychology, and I thought I was going to become a therapist way back in the day, but I ended up getting a job in advertising and did that for a very long time. And that particular mode of work, as a lot of people know, is 24/7. You're on all the time, especially as the producer. People are always coming to you. Everyone's coming to you to look to you to put the fires out. What can we do? How do we solve this? So it was pretty high maintenance. Mm-hmm. And I was back in 2012, I was working with an incredibly high profile client on a campaign with them for 10 months of that year. And just honestly, I felt like I was in a hamster wheel, like just going nonstop, working 7 days a week, sometimes 70, 80 hours a week, just really intense the whole entire time. And at the same time, always thinking to myself, I know there's something else out there that I could be doing that would be serving myself or serving others more. So I always had that inner talk going on. Mm-hmm. Wasn't listening to it. and then my marriage actually had taken a turn for the worse as well that year. And even starting at the end of, I mean, I was married for 13 years. And I would say probably about halfway through, things just started shifting and they became out of balance and they just progressed that way. And my ex-husband, who I have an incredibly amicable relationship with now, we're great friends. He sort of took a turn that was completely unexpected for me. It sort of shifted him into this completely other person. Without getting into all the details of it, it was incredibly traumatic for me. There was a lot of betrayal that went on, and it was just like really intense. So I go to work and everything's crazy. I come home, everything's crazy. And so I was basically just in this hamster wheel, going, and getting nowhere fast. So at the same time, I ended up separating from my husband. And within 3 months' time, that job that I was doing where this super high profile client like loved us. And to be honest with you, at the time, I didn't have the support in the company that I typically would have. Like I was wearing many hats, and that which was made the job actually a lot more intense. Not as if producing is that intense enough. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the company filed bankruptcy. They ended up laying me off after this job had wrapped. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, I was hit rear-ended in my car and sandwiched in between two cars. And I was left unable to work basically for the next year. I had back injuries from the base of my spine all the way up to the top of my neck. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to do anything. So I was just devastated, like mentally, physically, emotionally, like I had nothing left in me. Mm. And you could say that that was a giant wake up call.
Yeah.
You know, having my life completely just flip over as a 180. Mm. And it really just, it was kind of like, I don't believe that the universe gives us negative things I've actually learned that through all of my work. It was just more of like, okay, it's time for you to move and do something different. Mm-hmm. So these sort of actions are going to actually, you're not going to run 24/7 and walking around numb, basically. We're just going to sit you down and we're going to give you a lot of time to think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny sometimes when those events happen, we don't know the message or the lesson in the moment, like we're too close to it. It actually takes some time to kind of reflect on that. And it sounds like you had quite a bit of time to reflect. And I'm curious, what did you learn in that time of reflection? What did you see and where did it take you?
Absolutely. I will tell you that the beginning was incredibly hard. There was just devastation, so many tears, like I can't even tell you. And just feeling so alone. Like for the first time in my life, I wasn't physically able to do so many things because of the car accident. And I also, the one person that I trusted that would take care of me just wasn't there for me. And I couldn't actually utilize that help. And excuse me one second. I really just started to go within. Like, I mean, I didn't have any other choice really, but to go within and I remember there came a time where I was just like, okay, these are lessons. There's lessons in here for me. What is it that I'm supposed to be learning from all of this? What should I be taking away from this? And it didn't happen overnight by any means. Like this actually, you know, happened for me over a period of time, but I just came to the realization that even though these things are so incredibly painful in my life, the outcome has been better than I could ever have expected. And ultimately those were gifts in my life. Like, even though it was like crazy traumatic and not something I'd recommend anyone does.
Yeah. Right. Right.
It just really shifted so much for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the big lesson was for you, or what was the universe trying to get through that you weren't listening to until it came crashing down? Like, what was the message or the lesson in it for you?
The main lesson for me was self-care and self-love. Like, mm. I mean, my parents, I grew up with an example. My mom did everything. My father would go to work. And my mom basically did everything. I have 7 older siblings. And so a lot for, you know,
so that means you're the baby.
I am. Yeah. my example is that my mom did everything in the family, you know, like my father didn't do a lot of the things that a father typically would. He was financially there for us, but then there was a lack of the rest of the things. And so my mom pretty much did everything. And so like I took on that role growing up and,
that's what you learned, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that was actually part of why my marriage became unbalanced, is because I was in this mode that I needed to do everything and I could fix everything and I could do this. And, mm. and I could make up for, you know, imbalances. And in the end, that's not serving anybody because my cup is completely empty. I've drained myself. So I can't really give to people properly like I would be able to if I actually was giving myself the self-care, not taking on everything by myself. And even, you know, self-love. I mean, I didn't even know what that was, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah. Well, that really comes through in a lot of, I think in everything that you do, you know, particularly online, what really comes through is how much you're living your life from a place of love, you know. And I would say, you know, if I was to summarize my experience of you or what I'm seeing is like, just your commitment to love, your commitment to service, your commitment to teaching, and we can't forget about travel, you know. So traveling and sharing and just living your life as love, I think that's really, really huge. I think the world could use more Kates, you know, just living their life from that place. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the world would be a much happier, peaceful place.
Yeah. Now, you know, the other thing that strikes me too, and this kind of points to the whole theme of unlocking human potential is that, you know, here's these events, here's these life circumstances that you could say really tested you, you know, tested you to see what you're made of, right? And what I love is you're a really great example of the resilience within the human being, the human psyche. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, not to discredit your bounce back, but I think it's a real inspiration for other people. And that within all of us, not just Kate, not just Greg, we all have our stories, but I really hope that people will listen to this as really hope. You know, if they're struggling, if they've got something going on, if they're kind of, you know, feel like life's just throwing them something they can't handle, we've all been there. That's kind of why I dedicate my life to doing this is I've been tested myself. And these days, and it's the reason I want people like you on these podcasts is that you're living a living proof of human resilience and bounce back of challenges in life. So I really love that, Kate.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, it's, you know, it's one thing that is my main message is like, I wasn't living my purpose back then. I wasn't doing, you know, what was fulfilling for me. I was really just sort of like shoving a paycheck into my bank account and not, you know, and also having this feeling, this desire to like help people. And so I think that is one of the main lessons that I took away from this is you might have to go through some bad times in your life, but it is ultimately leading you to your truth and your purpose. And
yeah. Well, I'm guessing that lifestyle that you were in before, you know, in the producing industry, I'm guessing that that environment could really use you and what you've learned.
Sure. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So you've got an infinite number of possibilities and clients within that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what's really interesting, you know, as we're kind of talking about this, I think people and hopefully people listening here is I want people to realize you have two choices in life. You know, you can get hit by something in life like Kate, or I haven't shared my story or any, but, you know, kind of get hit by life, whacked on the back of the head. You know, I think I was just more stubborn than most people. You know, that's the only reason the things that have happened for me. And that's kind of typical for a lot of people that we just refused to eat reality. You know, we were eating fantasy, living in fantasy, but the message that I have here is really there's two options. There's wait till life throws you a crucible event, or reach out to Kate or, you know, Greg's or someone and say, hey, I don't want to wait till I'm hit by a bus or lose my leg or, you know, my partner leaves me. Like, I think there's probably a better way. Can you help me? And I think that's kind of the message here is is that you don't have to, people don't have to wait till life kind of hits them over the head with a fucking 2x4.
Right.
That you can start to be part of that transformative process in a much gentler way, a much more conscious way. If people would just get over themselves a little, you know, like set their egos aside, you know, because I'm guessing much like you, you know, there was probably some knocking, some signs back in the day.
Oh, you know? Yes.
And you didn't answer the door.
Right.
And then so it progresses, you know, so you got to drown out that knocking with something, either distractions or busyness or ignoring or burying our head in the sands or whatever it is. We all have our strategies, but the knock just gets louder and louder and louder until, you know, the door gets blown open, so to speak. So
absolutely.
So I love that. That's what gets us on this path, is that, you know, we realize, at least I'll speak for myself, I realize that people are really suffering unnecessarily.
For sure. You know? Absolutely.
And there's so many resources out there, you know, like yourself, and people just don't have to suffer and struggle unnecessarily. So
right.
I'm really, again, you're kind of a beacon for that, you know. It's like, hey, you don't want to do what I did. That's too painful, but
right.
We can get you here. You know, we can get you to some self-love and some self-care and reorient you and slow your life, you know, the heck down so you can smell the flowers a little bit, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I was definitely receiving messages. My intuition was talking to me and I just wasn't listening. And I can think back, it was going on for years. Like, you know, I, even just in my marriage, I kept getting this message, you guys would be better off apart, but I believed in it. And it turns out, you know, that we're both actually happier apart. It just took an extreme to get there, which we don't have to get there. There are definitely tools out there that we can use. Like I had discovered intuitive guidance back at that time, known as the Akashic Records. And I just could not believe the clarity and the guidance and the divine truth that was coming through for me. And that is one of the main things that just transformed my life and my thinking and like how I viewed things really. But there's so many other different, you know, there's other ways, like just like life coaching and just, I mean, it's very true. We're not here to suffer. We are actually here to be full of love and vibrant and prosperous and abundant. And I think our society has us twisted around a little bit on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love what you're saying here. And, you know, kind of in my world and in my language, you know, what it really sounds like is that you started listening to your divine guidance, your inner guidance, you know, that, and it's a much quieter voice, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so it really helps if we slow down, if we get off the hamster wheel or whatever, it's not that loud, the loud person at the party voice, you know, no. Like, hey, you know, it's a much quieter and softer voice. Now, you know, what I've discovered, Kate, is that that's within all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think, you know, much like yourself, the greatest joy, you know, that I have in the work I do is helping people start to hear, well, first of all, let them know that that voice is already within them, that divine guidance and common sense and inspiration is within all of us.
Right.
And then kind of holding the space until they actually hear the first whisper.
Yeah.
You know, how about you? Does that speak to you at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, we all truly know within, we are all connected to, the creator of the universe through our hearts. And we know what is best for us personally. We just don't necessarily listen to that. Once you start tuning into that and trusting it, it's just life-changing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is really good. This is really good. So what is it that gets in the way for people listening from your point of view? What do you think gets in the way?
Ego.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And just all the things we're led to believe that, you know, like materialism is the most important thing, or having big houses. And so I've really got to like hustle and work really hard to get to that point in my life where you can actually be incredibly happy inside without any of those things. And, you know, that's actually the most peaceful feeling in the world is actually, you know, finding that that truth and that happiness within yourself and within your heart, for sure.
Yeah. That's great.
I tell you, I was walking, I know I was numb. There was no way I could have done lived the life that I did without being numb. And especially where I am now, I'm so open to energy and I feel so many things now. Like, and I didn't have those feelings back then. Wow. And just, these feelings are just incredibly amazing and uplifting and invigorating. And
I
want everyone to feel this way. Like, I know that's part of my mission. That's why I'm here.
Cool. Now, how do you help people listen to their hearts or to cultivate that relationship with their own divine intelligence, or you know, the voice of the universe or God or whatever you want to call it? How do you help people?
Well, in a few different ways. One is through like the modalities that I work with, like, you know, receiving information, intuitive guidance, for people. But I mean, one of the main things that I always try to actually stress with people is just to make quiet time for yourself. And there's this misconception about meditation that, you know, everyone sort of thinks, oh, I have to meditate for like an hour long. And you don't actually have to do that. I mean, you can carve out, you can start out really small with just a few minutes a day and build up to that. But we can't hear the messages that we need to receive unless we actually quiet our minds. Mm-hmm. And like getting out in nature and doing that is even better if you can do that. But it's really about making some time in your day. And I used to say the same thing. I don't have time to do this. Well, guess what? It's up to you.
Right. So people can either slow down and make a little time to quiet their mind, or they can wait to get hit by a 2x4. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I guess anybody listening here, you're going to wake up either way. by choice or by chance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love
and hopefully
that.
It's by choice, because it's a lot less painful.
Yeah. Cool. So, so your advice to people would be to just start to carve out a little bit of time, you know, start with a few minutes every day and build up. And also, you know, stop bullshitting yourself that you don't have time. Like, who doesn't have 5 minutes, you know? Right. So I think that's another, I love that you said that, is like, oh, I just don't have time. Okay. And everybody uses that as kind of BS, you know. It's never questioned. It's like, is it true you really don't have time? You don't have 5 minutes, you know, to settle down, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can even do it throughout the day too. Like, take a couple minutes. Like, if you have like a crazy stressful job, and you can just like step away and just go quiet your mind and take some deep breaths, and just bring yourself back to your peace.
Yeah. Well, this is good. You know, originally I reached out to you because one of the things, you know, that struck me on your website and is kind of near and dear to me is that not only do people struggle unnecessarily, but people are stressed out and anxious is all get up, you know? And I was just wondering maybe if you could talk a little bit about when people are talking to you, what are they saying about stress? Like, where is their stress? What are the triggers? Like, how are people seeing that? You know, what's the stressors in people's lives?
What is the what? The
stressors, the triggers. Like, what do they see? Because, yeah. So like stress and anxiety, I wanted to talk about that. So whatever you have to say about stress and anxiety, like what's your experience with it? What are the people you're talking to? What's their experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, I had like an incredibly high level amount of stress in my life. And that has all since dissipated, which is amazing. I mean, you know, going within is like one of the main ways of getting through that type of stress. But I think it is also a belief system that we have all, you know, we like in Western society, we're raised that there are all these things that we have to do to follow and to be successful. And yeah. That is not true for every single one of us. Like we all have our own individual paths and, you know, following those is key. And when we're actually not following that path, that's when a lot of the stress comes into our life for sure. Yeah. It's like we're swimming upstream as hard as we can, but we're not going the right direction. So
yeah. Beautiful. Gosh. I love it. You and I are really on the same page here. You know, you're saying it in your way. And I love that. I love that. And that's the, you know, what I find is that's what's common with truth.
Yeah.
Is that everybody has it within them, you know, and in my world, you know, the stressors are people have just misguided thinking about what matters, you know, what's important and where their happiness comes from. And they're looking in the wrong direction.
Yes.
They're looking out there somewhere, you know, I love what you said about that's the problem right there. And that their happiness, if they just knew, was in the opposite direction, it's already within them, you know. That's kind of what I heard you say. I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful. You're all, yep, that's the ticket. Yeah. And you know, we're not the only ones talking about this. I mean, anybody, if we look at all the paths, all the mystic paths, all the teachers, all the great ones, if you will, this is not a new message by any means. You
know? No.
It's an age-old message that I think more and more people are kind of waking up or open to it. Honestly, I don't know how I missed it for so many years, you know?
Yeah.
But it's that cultural, it's the matrix that's so powerful, you know, that we live in, the conditioning, the culture, the shiny objects, all that stuff. It gets really easy to be seduced into that whole world. Kind of, it's like what we learned. But, you know, I think the proof in the pudding is that there's emptiness in all that. There's nothing there.
Right.
You know? And, and then when we get redirected, you know, either through choice or chance, we get redirected. We start to come home and experience what we've been looking for all along. And we're kind of like dumbfounded going, well, how can that be? What a waste of frickin' time. I've been, you know, chasing my tail, looking in the wrong direction. So, I have a lot of compassion for people. Because of that, because I was just as guilty as the rest, you know.
Oh yeah.
And much like you, I'm really dedicated and really inspired to helping people kind of come home to what's already there, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they've just lost sight of. So it's really
right.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason I wanted to have you on this, you know. we're very much in alignment, you know. We're all kind of going about it in our own ways, but the commonality there, you know, about, you know, I think a big part of our challenges in the world is a lack of spiritual fulfillment. You know, I would wrap it up in that. And, you know, part of the things I've seen, Kate, there's, you know, I talk to a lot of people in corporate America, in education, and in all these different domains. And I often ask them, I ask them, so is mental health on an incline or a decline, you know? And the surprising facts of everything is mental health is on a decline. It's on a decline. I mean, all you got to do is look at the the numbers of divorce with therapy and help and all that, it's still on the decline.
Yeah.
If you look at job satisfaction and employee engagement, it's still on the decline, you know?
Yeah.
If you look at the at kids in college and their mental health, it's on the decline. If you look at kids in, you know, small kids, you know, they're doing research now, it's on the decline too. And from my point of view, it's because that cultural conditioning is so strong that they're still looking out, they're looking out here, whether with grades or tests or advancement or position or whatever it is, that's the mental illness at large.
Yes.
And so, what people like you and I do is that, however we go about it, get there, it's like we're helping the world regain sanity and become mentally well, if you will.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, the truth of the matter is home is in our hearts. It's not the materialism or the best grades or all those pressures that we have on us. It's really like deep within. That's where our true happiness lies.
Yeah. Well, now somebody listening, maybe new or even somebody who's been on the path, I see them sometimes conflicted. They know that happiness is in their heart and at home, but then they go, well, I still got to pay the rent. You know, I got kids, I got a car payment. What advice do you have about people who feel the tug, you know, of the outer world, so to speak, even when they know that there's nothing to be afraid of, happiness is in their hearts? Like, what advice would you give people that are dealing with this? I call it the dilemma of the heart and the material world. You know, that tug. What advice would you give people, or what do you have to say about that? And maybe you do, or maybe you don't. Maybe I don't know.
No, I actually have a few things to say about that, and that is one is that. We just sort of have to begin to trust in the messages that we receive, or really sit down and figure out, what do we feel passionate about? What is it that I can do that is going to give me fulfillment? And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to change your job either. There just might be some shifts that you need to make in your life. And then if it is a job that you want to step into that is something different, and obviously you do have to pay your rent, is like, don't put the pressure on yourself to have to do it overnight. Like, it can happen over time, and you just set goals for yourself to get there.
I love that. I often tell clients too, it's like, you go in that direction, but don't have anything on it.
Yeah.
And what I mean by not having anything on it is a timeline where it's got to happen overnight, or it means something about who you are, or, you know, it's part of that degree or that fame or whatever. It's like, do it because your heart wants to do it, and don't have anything on it. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
well, that's great.
I mean, that's even if you pay attention to Abraham Hicks and the law of attraction, like, by having stuff on it, you're putting resistance on it, which is actually going to withhold it from you.
Yeah. I've been guilty of, I was so guilty of that in the past, you know. I would pick a goal and I'd have so much on it. Like, if I didn't fulfill it, the goal.
Yeah.
It'd mean I was dumb, or I was something's wrong with me, or whatever. It'd throw me in a tailspin. And I got away from goals entirely because I felt so bad about them, you know, most of the time. But these days I've kind of come full circle where I still have goals. I have projects or intentions, if you will, but they're just so much more fun because I don't have anything on it. They don't mean anything about who I am, or, you know, how many likes I have or don't like. It's like, I just don't have anything on anything anymore. And it's so liberating.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like if people really got that they're okay, that they're really okay and whole, no matter what happens in life, they just, they'd just be more engaged. They'd be more, they'd actually create more if they took all that stuff off of it, you know? But people put so much pressure on themselves. I know one of my teachers, and in the beginning, I had a really hard time with this idea. I used to think that the more pressure I put myself under, the better I would do.
Yeah.
And then I started kind of getting spiritual, if you will, or kind of waking up to the bigger picture. And I started to see that the opposite was true. That that pressure, it might have a short game win, you know, a short benefit, but in the long game, boy, that's a fool's errand. And that when I put myself under pressure, I get stuck. I really, my ego gets really revved up. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm afraid to take risks. It's so contracting, you know.
Yeah.
And when I took all the pressure off, it's like, holy smokes. It was like taking the blocks out from underneath the tires, and all of a sudden the car could just, like, you know, really go. I didn't realize I had blocks under the wheels, you know,
right,
with all this stuff on it. So this is cool. Really cool.
Yeah. Flow, don't force.
Flow, don't force. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been really wonderful. Really wonderful, Kate.
Yeah.
Have you on here. Anything else you, you'd like to share with anybody listening here today, or like something for them to consider, or kind of a message for them, like what's coming through you right now?
I think, you know, one of the main things I think that a lot of us suffer from out there is we just don't believe in ourselves for whatever reason. And, you know, they're in reality, who we are in our divine essence, we are just these whole, unlimited, unconditionally loving beings, and we're beautiful. Every single one of us is just as beautiful as the next person. And that's the one thing that I really want to share with people too, is it's just like, you're not broken. You're not all these things that someone else has told you over time. Like, you're amazing, and it's your birthright to feel that way and to live your life that way. And I love to share that. And
yeah,
spread it as far as I can around the world.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I think that's perfect. And I really hope people take what you said to heart, Kate, and really sit with that. If people want to find out more about you, how would they find out about you, Kate?
So they could go to my website. It's Clarity with Kate, and it's K-A-I-T. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram under Clarity with Kate as well.
Okay, cool. So anybody listening to the podcast, Kate's information, I'll make sure is in the description and in the link, so you feel free to reach out to her. It was really wonderful to have you today, and I look forward to possibly having you on again and chatting with you another time, Kate. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks, cool. Greg. I really appreciate being here.